and we're looking at Romans 12, verses 9 to 21. And it will come up on the screen, but if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to it. Romans 12, 9 to 21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Father God, we thank you for what you've already spoken to us about seeing things from your perspective. Now help me as I try and bring that and this together to understand something of what you're saying to us. Speak now, Holy Spirit, to each and every one of us through your work in our lives and in our hearts. Help us to be open to what you're saying, in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a definite change from what we saw in verses 1 to 8 to what we see now in verses 9 to 21. Here, you will have noticed, rather than the free-flowing text that Paul uses earlier, he goes into this highly sort of directed, very staccato-type sort of rapid-fire set of commands. And he's commanding the church here in very simple words. And he's saying things very simply. And in that sense, this is a nightmare on which to preach. Because actually, I can add very little to what he says. When Paul says, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, how much more simple can it be than that? And how much can I add to something like that? When it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, hey, it's simple. Well, simple enough to understand. Just a little bit more complex to put into practice. And in a sense, I just wanted to read those words, because in the words and the way I read them, I hope that each one came as a fresh command to you. And perhaps I should take a note out of Jim's book and actually just say, let's stop and let's just read each one of those ones and then say, okay, how am I going to put that into practice this week? Because that would be sermon enough. So, what do I do with this? Well, I want to just talk about it in very simple way. I was going to have a whole lot more, so I'm changing in essence. So if it doesn't quite hang together, then please forgive me. But I think the first thing I want to say is this. This is a passage, if it hangs together in any way, shape or form, it hangs together under the title of love. And I think there is something about love that we must understand. And I want to read some words from 1 John 4. It says, we love because he first loved us. We can only love as this Bible, as these Bible verses say, and this is this passage is talking about genuine love, real love. Love must be genuine. And in this, Paul is saying, this is what genuine love looks like. If you want to know what real love looks like, it's this. Real Christian love is written about here. It's none of this falling in love. There isn't such a thing as falling in love when it comes to Christian love. Christian love is a choice that we make to follow the command of God, which is laid out here. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That's not a, oh, I'm going to suddenly fall into devotion and deep affection. No, this is a command. We love because God first loved us. It is out of that deep love that he has for us that we love other people. If anyone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother, he's a liar. We can't say we love God. We can't have our own lovely worship and, oh yes, Lord, you're the best. You're great. We love you. And then we turn around and we don't get on with one another and we don't show devotion to one another in brotherly love. If we just do that, then it's not genuine love. It's not genuine love for God and it's not genuine love for one another. That is not Christian love that can say, I love you, God, in one breath, in worship, and then look at one another around and say, I don't love you. And you may think, oh, well, I've been put next to the right one. I was sitting next to Mark this morning. Sorry, Mark. Happy birthday for this week. We do love you. Love cannot hate a brother and say, I love God. We're liars if we do that. Anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So, love, God loves us, and if we haven't experienced that love from heaven, we will not experience love for one another. And I think that's where I want to tie in to what Matthew said. Is that we must get a heavenly perspective. We must understand not only God's love for us, and get a heavenly perspective on God's love for us. We tend to have an earthly perspective on how much God loves us. And we look at ourselves and we perhaps think, oh, yes, I am rather lovely. No, we don't tend to think that. We tend to be a little less positive about ourselves. And we think, how can God love us when we're like we are? So we need to get out of our shoes, go stand in God's shoes, and look down from heaven and see that God loves us with an immense love. Get that. He loves us just the way we are. So get a heavenly perspective on that he loves us. But not only get a heavenly perspective on the fact that he loves us, but get a heavenly perspective on the fact that he loves the person sitting next to you. And picking up on what Liz said, in a rather convoluted way, get that he loves the person that you're not sitting next to, as well. Liz says, oh, we're sitting next to those, you know, we get on with. And yes, we often sit in the same place every week because we sit with the people that we get on with. And perhaps we ought need to get off our backsides and sit somewhere else and sit next to the people we don't get on with. And then have the sermon that says, love them deeply. That's why I sat next to Mark this morning. Sorry, Mark. If we're going to have genuine love, we must love sincerely. We must hate what is evil, cling to what's good. How much does that fit with what Matthew has said? Is that God has an absolute abhorrence, a hate for the things that are not good. He hates the suffering and the evil in the world. He hates it to such a degree that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, into the world to deal once and for all with that. And hang on to, cling on to. It's got that picture of somebody hanging on to something and not wanting to let go. Debs and I, in our 50th decade, are going to do 50 things that we would not have... 5th decade, okay, 50, well, the decade that we became 50, come on. Shut up. Some people, God calls you to love, and they just... How can you? Holy Spirit, help me to love him with all my heart. Okay, in this decade that we've turned 50, we decided to do 50 things that we wouldn't otherwise do. Yesterday we went out for a cycle. That's not one of them. We do that fairly often. But we were talking a little bit about it, and Debs was flagging a little bit. She's not been very well. So, you know, a 30-mile cycle was not what she appreciated. And she was getting a little bit tired and, dare I say it, Don't say it. Sorry? Okay, yeah, we didn't take lunch with it. Us, and any of you that have married a redhead will know that lunch at 3 o'clock is not a wise idea. Anyhow, you understand that, Ian, don't you? But she was not at a happy state, and I have to say that I was encouraging her on, saying, yeah, keep going. Not far now. You know, we've only got 10 miles to go. Keep going. And she didn't overly appreciate it. And she said to me, when we go to Go Ape, then I will be saying to you, come on, it's not that difficult. Because one of the things I have is a great fear of heights. It's an irrational thing. And I wish I could do throwing myself off high things, but I can't. And when I got to Go Ape last time, I clung on to that first bit, and I would not let go. There was nothing that was going to do to move my hands off that rope. I had got up to this first platform. For those of you that don't know, you climb up this platform. In the woods, you're up, like, must be a mile high, I suspect. And you look down. And the world is just a speck, and people are but ants. And you are asked to throw yourself off a platform into the unknown. Well, me, I have more sense than that. That's what I think it is. I don't have fear. I think it is a natural, just a lot of common sense. I just think I've been given a gift of common sense. But I hang on for dear life, not wanting to give up on that platform. You can see the white in my knuckles. And I would suggest that each and every one of us needs to take the same attitude and approach to good. Cling on as if your life depends on it. Hate what is evil, and cling on to what is good. And I think that's where we get something of the perspective of God onto things, is that we recognize the good and the evil. We see dark for darker, light for light, and we hang on to the light, and we make sure everything's good. And if there's dross and rubbish and things in life, let it go. Let it go. And just hang on in there. I think the first verses 9 to 13 are about the church and about how we should be loving and love one another. And I think the church would be transformed if we could just do one or two of these. In actual fact, if we could do all of them, all the much the better. A genuine sense of love. If we could, as if we could get God's understanding of love, then I think it would be fantastic. We would have a transformed church. One of the bits that I was going to say was pick up on that. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And I was going to say, love isn't lazy or unenthusiastic, but aglow with the Spirit so that it does good for God. And I think we need to love with God in mind. We must do it that everything, that loving one another is about loving God. If we love one another, then we will love God. And it's loving in loving one another that other people will see that we love God. I was going to talk then for 14 to 16 about how we relate to people outside of the church. We should be loving inside of the church, and then we should live in harmony with those people outside of the church, blessing them, being empathetic with them, living in harmony with them by humility. And then I wanted to talk about an alternative to revenge. Again, Paul is talking about the people outside of the church, those that are persecuting them. Every inclination in our heart seems to be towards revenge when people hurt us. And here I want to pick up one of the other things that Matt said. Here we talk about love. Love within the church. Love for those that are outside of the church. Blessing them. Seeking harmony with them. Wherever possible. And here we talk about those that are persecuting. And those that are against us. And those that are hurting us. And those that are damaging us. And inside us, when that happens, all that comes up is your hackles rise. Good word there. Your hackles rise. You know that sense when you're driving along and somebody cuts you up at the roundabout. I was driving along the other day at the roundabout by the university, and I was on the inside lane and a lorry was on the outside lane, and we were going to flow round that roundabout and I was going to go onto Escort Road quite happily. But he didn't have that same view. He was going to drive in both lanes. And so I had to slam on my brakes and let him go ahead. And you know how it is. That sense of Christian love just flows into you at those moments in time. And you think, bless those that cut you up.
Sure.
No, absolutely. Sure. It's not true. It is not. Your hackles rise. You just have that sense of, I want to, you know. And you have that sense. And when we've done things to us, we will have a sense of revenge. And I think it is an basic instinct coming from the evil within the world. And what I wanted to talk about this was the alternative to revenge. And it's not easy. And Paul concludes with this. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How can that be? How can we live in such a way as to be countercultural, to do something with this inner revenge in us? And I would suggest, as Matthew has, that the only way to deal with this, the only way to have real love, genuine Christian love, in the face of those that are against us, is to recognize how Jesus did it in the face of those that wanted to kill him. He went to the cross and he died and suffered for us. It is only love that is cruciformed, that is shaped by the cross, that will actually be able to deal with our natural inclination to revenge. I think we do need to get God's perspective on love. A genuine love. And what I would ask you to do, because I haven't preached properly on this, I would encourage you just to go through and read that passage again. Okay. I'm going to encourage you to do this. Now, next week, I'm not going to do this. I would like to be able to stand up and say, how many of you did it? And see everybody's hand shoot up. I know it's hard. And I know most of you are going to go home and forget what I've said. But in this passage, there are some very simple commands. And I'd have liked to have extended them a little bit. To say, we need to be devoted to one another, honour one another, be joyful when other people are going through good stuff, be patient when they're having struggles, share with people out of a generous heart, practice the welcome of hospitality. All of these things, they're good things. And as a Christian community, we will be transformed if we do that. So please go home, read them, not go home now. Just let Jim finish the service in bringing us to worship. But whilst we are worshipping, just reflect on some of those things. The genuine love that we should have for one another. The genuine love that we should have to live in harmony with others. And the genuine love we should have that will overcome all the hate that is in this world. And when we're walking down the street and we see someone in that place, we can demonstrate that love by giving it to God and taking God's perspective on it. I think that's a word for us into our season. Let's pray. Musicians, if you would want to. Father God, we thank you for these words in Scripture that teach us how to love. Don't leave it as an airy-fairy, falling in love type thing, but actually tell us what the guts of love look like. And Lord, we recognize that we fairly often fail. But Lord, we thank you for your love that has shown us exactly what it looks like, what love looks like. Love that came from heaven, that hated sin so much that you went to the cross to deal with it. Help us to be so much hating what is evil, that we might work with you to bring about good by clinging on to it. And Lord, as we now reflect and worship you, as we give generously, as we're commanded to, in our tithes and offerings, and as we reflect on your love divine, a love that excels any love that we can get, Lord, help us to have your perspective on love and on one another, that we might truly love them and you. In Jesus' name, amen.